Hello, America. Dave Hodges here, host of the Common Sense Show. We are the show that is freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. Thank you so much for joining us. Really, really good to be with you. Honestly, my pleasure. And we ask that you would share our work far and wide. And, one of the things you don't see me do here, and I want to start with this premise. I am decidedly and a Christian. I'm not Islamic, not Jewish, not Hindu, not Buddhist, but you never hear me disparage what people believe in. Now, if some people throw it up in my face, I'll try to come back with scripture, biblical references, and say, this is why I believe what I believe. And I leave it at that. And this is basically the American tradition. We have freedom of religion. Unfortunately, today, it's freedom from Christianity. And before I go into a tirade, I'm just going to say this. I'm not watching the Olympics. And if you agree with me, I'd like for you to share this. If you don't agree with me, that's okay. But I'm not watching the Olympics from some very specific reason. We're going to get into that right here on the Common Sense Show and again ask you to share. We're brought to you by the Magic Dicol products, and they have literally saved my life. I was in big trouble. And people who've been following me for a while know the before and after pictures, just my appearance. I hear it a lot. And thank you for the nice comments and the support. It's very encouraging. And it really motivates me to work harder. I've got a good lifestyle going now, too, that I hope to maintain for quite some time, as long as the Lord lets me. And you can have the same thing. You can be the best version of yourself. Testimonials abound. These products are sweeping not just North America, but the world. Go to iwantmyhealthback.com/Dave Hodges. This is the biggest breakthrough in natural health care history. iwantmyhealthback.com/Dave Hodges. Well, there's some real specific reasons why I'm not watching the Olympics. Let me start with something. I'm not going to pound into the pavement because I've talked about this. I already was not going to watch the women's basketball team from America. Just the prejudice is, and the low-life behavior of the WNBA is off the charts. And I'm not saying there's not some good women on that team, good people, nice people, people I would enjoy talking to. But the people who run the U.S. Olympic Committee are horrible people. They're racist. They're anti-Christian. And I think actually they're anti-humanity. And if Caitlin Clark were not white, Caitlin Clark was not straight, had a well-publicized relationship with a boyfriend, former college basketball player, she'd be on the Olympic team, or so I thought. But I think I've discovered with recent times with the opening ceremonies that it's Caitlin Clark's Christian views that probably people are objecting to. And it's interesting. In the little bit I've watched her, I see little clips and I look for things, and you can see team camaraderie. I'm a coach. I mean, I recognize this stuff. She gets along with the teammates that she plays with that aren't white. You can tell, and they appreciate her. Well, I would too if she doubled my scoring average because she's such an insanely good passer. But she's got triple doubles. No rookie's ever done that. She set the league record for assists. She's an incredible three-point shooter, and she's a fierce competitor. And she's taken a team that was total trash under a very mediocre coach and has turned that franchise into a playoff contender. But she's not good enough to be on the Olympics. In fact, the Olympic coach had to eat her own words when Caitlin's team went into their hometown in Minnesota and beat them. And Caitlin scored 10 points in the fourth quarter to pull out the victory. And this coach was saying, I don't give two shits. That's a quote. I don't give two shits about Caitlin Clark. And they were questioning her before the game. After the game, She had nothing to say. Do you regret not having her on the Olympic team? No. Well, she just beat your ass at home. Okay, so I just said, you know, I don't need to deal with a league that's this way. I don't. And it's management. And it filters down to their coaches and the referees. And I've detailed how Caitlin's taken physical abuse that goes unpunished. You know, most games, most leagues, there'd be suspensions handed out. So I already wasn't going to watch the women's NBA. Now I'm not going to watch 1 minute of the Olympics. And people have the right to be a complete jackass. People have the right to denigrate my spiritual beliefs, but I have the right not to assist them in making money for the perversions that they want to promote. And I'm going to show you exactly what I'm talking about. This is from the opening ceremonies. And in my religion, one of the most dramatic events in our Bible is the Last Supper. It's actually where our communion comes from. And Jesus was telling the 12 disciples that soon, you know, my body's going to be broken, I'm going to be bleeding, and you'll remember me when you break bread and drink wine, the basis of our communion. It's a very important event, the Last Supper. It's a holy event. Well, this is the Olympic Committee's version of the Last Supper, where they are making a mockery of Jesus. This is Jesus right here, sitting at the center. And if you've ever seen the depictions of the Last Supper, that's where Jesus sat. These are supposed to be the 12 disciples, but these Olympic Committee people are so stupid they couldn't count. They put 13 in there. And the thing is they're all LGBTQ. Hey, we all have our cross to bear. You know, I have sins in my life that I have to deal with. Other people have sins in their life. And as long as you're not crossing into my territory, interfering in my life, okay, you can be whatever you want to be because you got to answer for it at the end of days the same that I do. And that's been my live and let live. Judge not, lest you be judged, okay? Now, do I judge for my own personal choices, the way I raise my family? You bet I do. But I wanted to show you some of the comments to show you just how far gone this country is. And they can't even think properly. This guy, Mike Sington here, okay? And you go out there in public, you deserve the criticism. And when you post stupid things and get 1.4 million views, you got to expect someone like me to come out and really denigrate your past teachers who obviously didn't teach you how to think logically, Mike Sington. Thomas Jolly, artistic director for the Paris Olympics opening ceremony, responds to the MAGA outrage over MAGA outrage. Hey, forget MAGA. I'm a Christian. I'm outraged as a Christian. Give a shit about MAGA. Where'd you get that from? Again, a stupid statement. And then he says, MAGA outrage over the Last Supper parody. So the Olympics are about honoring athletes and cultural heritages of nations of people that come together and compete peacefully, which is the way the world should be living, and they do it for 2 weeks. Those are honorable events. But that's not what this clown's up to here. In France, here's the quote, people are free to love how they please. I just said, I don't care how these people live their lives. I hope that they find Jesus and come to the glory of God. Okay? And you have to pray for that if you're a Christian. But these are their choices. But the thing is I don't have to participate and honor an organization and help them make advertising revenue when you denigrate my religion to such a level and you take the Son of God and make it into a mockery. And this has nothing to do with their sexual practices and who they love. And they're saying that people are free to love whoever they want. That's not the issue here. You made fun of one of the most holy events in the Bible, and you denigrated my religion. And I don't care if these were 13 heterosexuals or 13 eunuchs with their genitals cut off. I could care less. The fact is you're denigrating my religion, and I say big middle finger to the Olympic Committee. I ain't watching a damn thing that you're doing, and I may never watch again. But look at this. Here's another guy, Rex. Okay, this mental midget says, American MAGA conservatives need to get over themselves. Again, what does MAGA have to do with this? There are people who are not Christian that are MAGA, and there are Christians who don't believe in MAGA, and there are Christians who are MAGA. But you see, all trying to turn this into political rhetoric. And this Mike Tirico, right? This, I know more than you, and I'm the God over your thoughts, Mike Tirico from ESPN. And I used to think he was a pretty good broadcaster. But the bottom line is he's making political commentaries in the opening ceremonies. And he got ripped a new butthole for this, and he should have. But you look at this. American conservatives need to get over themselves. Believe it or not, they do not get to tell others how to live their lives. Didn't I just say, I don't care what you people do. It doesn't matter to me. It doesn't change my life tomorrow. But I care very much when to the world you denigrate my religion, and it shows the world someday is going to come and persecute Christians, just like the Bible tells. And that's already happening to a large extent in our country. Just look at people that pray at abortion centers. They take 75-year-old women and give them basically a life sentence, Merrick Garland. Okay, so I wanted to expose this here. Right, this is disrespectful. I want to just juxtapose for a second. Imagine this isn't Jesus sitting in the middle in this parody, but it's Muhammad. Oh, I don't think the Nation of Islam has much patience for LGBTQ. Can you imagine what would be happening here? Bombs to the left of me, bombs to the right. Yeah, imagine if we had a little juxtaposition here. My point is made. No Olympics for Dave Hodges. People can just go pound sand. Hey, everybody. Dave Hodges here, host of The Common Sense Show. We are the show that's freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. We're back with Celeste for part two of this very disturbing information she's giving, courtesy of the United Nations and their partners. And in part two, we're going to be hitting a little bit on the UN Declaration of Rights and what that's going to mean for you. And she even has some timetables, and the Army is going to get involved. And this is, yeah, if your head's spinning from part one, I don't think you've seen nothing here for part two. Again, we're coming to you from the Noble Gold Studios. And if you want information on how to save your retirement, get your money out of the clutches of the bankers, because under Dodd-Frank, they can steal your money. You're declared to be an unsecured creditor. We can do all that for you with Noble Gold. Put it under your control. Back it with precious metals. Go to DaveHodgesGold.com, DaveHodgesGold.com, and you'll have a number there. And when we send you the electronic packet, you can call Noble Gold and get this process started. You do not have a lot of time. This system is in near free fall right now. This could happen anytime. DaveHodgesGold.com. Celeste, I'm glad you could come back and join us for part two. Part one is going to cause people to lose some sleep. And I'm telling you, part two, I don't want to induce fear. We're hoping it will motivate you to action. So, Celeste, I'm just going to turn it back over to you. And let's go where you think we should.
Okay, let's go for it. I'm going to share my screen.
Momentary gap here, a second, and we'll be right to the material. Okay, here we go.
I got to get the X out of the way. I just abbreviated the plastic section. I overdid the plastics a bit. So it's also, this new system is going to be the Internet of Things, as you all know. It's AI-based water management, which we're already seeing, integrating urban areas, irrigation, rainfall, and rooftop rainfall runoff taxes. Many people, like in Washington State, and there's some East Coast states as well, actually charge you like $50 or more because rain falls on your roof. So this is only going to get more expansive as time goes on, because they want to pay. The big thrust of this internet system is to get you to pay more so that they can come down like jackboot thugs on you for enforcement. Yeah. So the next gen digital network is to manage energy consumption, and the smart grid support the electrification and affordable connectivity. That's one thing. They want everybody connected so they can't make it too expensive. And AI is going to manage electrical utilities, managing electrical downtime. And what does that mean? It means rationing. They already installed that system here in North Dakota, and I have already experienced the joy of rationed power. No fun. Let's see. Is it going to work?
You know, they're going to ration everything while you're pulling up this next piece of information. I did some expose work about 3 weeks ago on rationing healthcare that they're in the process of installing. So,
yes.
Okay.
We touched on that in part one.
Yes.
Briefly. Sensors and monitors connected to the Internet of Things, cloud-based platforms, blockchain-enabled tracking systems, or digital passports for the purposes of tracking and measuring environmental and social impacts of the value chain. So this is, and also I would say behavior, but I didn't stick that in this PowerPoint. There's going to be public and e-government services, which enable people to access public services, of course, through the internet. You're not going to be able to talk with your representative, your senator, public works, transportation, anybody. You're going to have to go through that frustrating and annoying AI system. And they actually have the gall. This is hilarious. They say that they are going to curb corruption.
They are the corruption.
I know they are the corruption. So I got a chuckle out of that. It's not going to be a laughing matter when it starts really, they start hammering us. But I chuckled momentarily.
No, so corruption is any resistance to this enslavement.
Partnerships between states, private sector, and civil society leverage the digital tools to attain UN sustainable goals for managing disaster response. So all of disaster response is going to be this giant global partnership with the UN and civil society. And of course, it's going to have to fit in the glove of the UN sustainable goals.
Okay.
Now, this is a pretty interesting one. Violence against women. This is women in chains, and you've got to beware of the language of the serpent. So the UN is claiming to be an advocate against violence for women and children. But I'm glad you're sitting down, Dave, because the UN Resolution 38/5, passed on July 2018, makes a distinction between violence towards physical, original design women and children like you and me, and the digital straw or digital native woman and child. So that means a digital native or straw woman and child has protection against violence, but a physical original design woman and child can be trafficked, sex slaved, beaten, whatever. They have no rights in this new world.
How do you become a digital straw woman or child?
You sign up and you have the digital ID and you're integrated as the node in the hive.
So this is BS cover, because every woman and child's going to be digitized. So therefore, no one's protected.
No, the digital gets protected, but the non-digital, if I say no, I have no protection. If I say no, I'm not going into your system, your electronic system, I will have no protections against violence.
You got it.
They can do whatever they want to me. That's how they're getting away. That's why you see the UN and all these diplomats and this involved in these sex trafficking and corruption, because the physical person does not no longer, they've transferred. There's that transfer of power. Now we're going to talk about intergenerational. Remember at the beginning in part one, I talked about generations. So this is how generations fits into the plan. So it's an intergenerational force multiplier, which is a militarized weapon transfer of knowledge, skills, and resources from the old humans, that's you and me, Dave, known as mankind, to service the new technologically endowed humans who are predominantly no longer mankind. They're humanoid, but they are no longer considered mankind, created in the divine image of God. I have been covering this since 2018, and I got that from the military. These new humans will adapt certain information from the old world to forge out new societal cultures and norms. And we are already beginning to see this. We saw this in 2020, where parents and grandparents were forced to get vaccinated if you would go along with the child or grandchild's coercion to see their grandkids. And if not, you were banished to isolation land. It broke families apart. It was awful. So that is a new societal and cultural norm where the children basically call the shots.
Okay. Taking this in stride. It's shocking, but I'm taking this in stride.
So one thing I think I forgot, I have a 157-page document that I had to synthesize down to 100 slides. But the bumbling women thing, that slide that I put in our first conversation, the United Nations is placing women in high positions of government and security. And that's why we saw those women with the President Trump detail. That's why long ago in a Homeland Security, that we actually have children making policy for the United States, and they were giving awards out. And I got this from my Homeland Security thing. And I tried to find the article to put it in, and I was terrible about tagging, and I can't find the article. But now we're going to see a deluge of these Jezebel power monger women running the show. I fully expect, quite frankly, that we will have a woman president. By hook or crook, they want women, because as we talked about in the beginning, the silly women that are ensnared in sin, they can manipulate. So here's my coverage on the new humans, the Synth Sanctuary, and sanctuary.ai is the company that makes synthetic humanoids, goes dark. So if you wanted to see that. So many of you have been witnessing this weaponization for some time. The force multiplication has actually been used since World War I, and you're probably all familiar with the Air Force owning the weather by 2025, yes. A force multiplier. So this is nothing new. Also, toxic relationships. There's this manipulation, gaslighting, and also ghosting, where there's this upheaval in culture and social norms where the children are ghosting or deleting parents and vice versa. If you don't like somebody, if they don't agree with you, I'm pushing the delete button. And we need to really get away from that whole thing.
Culture, yeah, I agree.
So in the spring, I did maybe it was in that last fall, I did a article on biology, culture by design, Marxism, synthetic biology, and sex, and the weaponization and power is expanded to children by design, who by deception. Now, I can speak because I'm a former, I protested the Vietnam War. So, I mean, I was a protester. I wore the armband. My dad worked for the military. And I'm protesting against the war. which probably didn't go over too well, but they totally believe that they are establishing this new value system for a future society and culture. But as I learned when I grew up, I was just a pawn in a big machine. You know, we were all being used, whether you were for the Vietnam War or against the Vietnam War, both factions or sides were using the young people. So basically, the children don't realize, like that little Greta Thunberg, who says we stole our childhood, are actually part of this evil cult that's exploiting them. The force multiplier is a factor, a concept, or an asset that enhances the combat effectiveness or productivity of a military unit or organization without increasing its size. And that's what the UN wants to do. It wants to leverage its power without increasing its expenses and size. It wants us to, it's kind of like in World War II, they got the mid-level Jews to process the Jews, new Jews that came into the concentration camp. It's kind of like that. Key characteristics is it increases combat potential. It is nonlinear effect or asymmetrical warfare, and this is operational and or tactical. In the Bible, we find generational warfare is often associated with blessings and curses and or God's covenant, and it pertains to obedience or disobedience. So keeping steadfast love for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, but who will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children and the children's children to the third and fourth generation. Keep in mind that at the time of COVID, there was probably my parents, myself, my children, and my grandchildren were alive in 2020. That is the third and fourth generation. And so what does God say? Furthermore, he says in Deuteronomy 5, 9 through 10, you shall not worship them or serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me. And so we have to realize that when we make choices that go in contrast to the word of God, God considers that hating him. And so we have to really think about that and ponder. And if we have done that, we need to repent of that while the time is possible to repent of that before the wrath of God or judgment starts falling. So what's going to happen on the fall equinox? We're finally to the fall equinox. So the UN is going to declare, pronounce a curse, the yoking upon all generations, every individual, every family, each country, and each business to swear allegiance to the new UN standard, utilizing the blockchain contractual agreement in perpetuity. So if you say, oops, I signed up and I want out, you can't do that.
How do they get you to sign up? Let's warn people.
Oh, we're getting there.
Okay, all right.
You're always one step ahead of me, Dave. this document does not even acknowledge that these generations are mankind. We have to think about that. Remember, I talked about in the beginning, the generations of the Bible, and what are the globalists? They say it's 150 years. Yes. Are these ETs? Are these interdimensional being entities? Are these synths? Are these humanoids? Are they robots? What are these generations? The UN never does specify what these generations are. Also on the fall equinox, pertinent to the discussion is the World Rivers Day. You know, it's an awareness day for the rivers and the ocean and all of this. And I'm going to take, I got a slide, but I did not get it into the onto this computer. So I'm going to digress for just a minute. Back in 1999 through 2014, the UN had a presentation called Illuminations. If you break down that name, it breaks down into three words: ill, which means sick. Umi means the mother of oceans and nations. So the sick mother of ocean nations. And what do we see in the book of Revelations? That the beast rises out of the sea with blasphemy. So there is right now this shift in power between the dragon of old and the beast. That is taking place from today, July 24th, until the fall equinox, where the inauguration and everything will take place. It is also Women's Day. We've seen a lot about women. Remember, I said women and children are targeted, and they're being targeted because they are easily manipulable. Okay, so now I got to get my little picture out of here. So this is now, I did change some words just for brevity and shortened the document. There is the full document if you want to learn about it.
Okay.
But this is the preamble to the UN Declaration of Human Rights, which is what we are going to be seeing on the fall equinox. We, the UN, represent the people of the world. So they are declaring themselves as representatives of the world. We are reaffirming our commitments to the Charter of the United Nations as the universal human rights. So in this, we are replacing God's rights, our inalienable rights, for the universal human rights, for this Charter of Universal Human Rights by the United Nations. We have to stand against this. We have repeatedly reaffirmed our obligation to the future generations, which is basically child worship, which we're seeing a lot of, and determination to safeguard their needs and interests via the mechanism of the 2030 Agenda for Sustainable Development.
They're back to Agenda 21 stuff.
Yep. Calling, now here's where this is where it's starting to tie it together. Mm-hmm. Calling on many social, cultural, religious, spiritual belief practices, national constitutions, and legal systems to safeguard future generations and promote intergenerational safety. So this is the day of the pronouncement of a generational curse. And so our actions, decisions, and inactions have this intergenerational multiplier effect. If you're biblical, it's not a curse, it's a blessing. If you're not walking in faith and you're starting to go into the UN territory, it's a curse. So our conduct today will, this is the UN's words, our conduct today will impact future generations exponentially. We carry the responsibility towards future generations to act with their best interest in mind. Basically, in the UN documents, the present generation has been erased or depopulated. And remember, I've been saying since 2018 from that military conference that I went to, that depopulation was slated to happen before 2025 was the cutoff date. Didn't say January 1st. It also said that the army would be, I didn't put this in a slide, but that the army would be responsible for renunciation. That's not only, it's renunciation of our way of life, the old world, God's world, God's original design, but it's also renunciation of our faith and renunciation of being a human being. Because when you enter this system, you are no longer created in the divine image of God. Back to the UN's word, recognizing the need for intergenerational dialogue and engagement among the elderly, youth, and children for the purposes of knowledge mining only. They really don't want the people like my age to be influencing an influencing factor upon the young people, because they feel the UN wants to safeguard the interests, their interests, the UN's interest in future generations. The UN considers the present generation an existential threat to this planet, which is why they are justified in depopulating.
Yeah, I want to add something right here because I've talked about this a lot. I've done extensive research on 15-minute cities and so forth and what's coming. And if you and I go out and build a building today and we start a business, we have to be handicap friendly. We have to cater to the elderly. We have to go through all these agencies and all these forms and get insurance. And there's not one word about helping the infirm, the elderly, the handicapped, nothing, nothing. They're going to do away with them. Yeah.
Yes, Soylent Green. So they're going to invest in building a strong foundation, a sustainable UN for peace, prosperity, and human rights. And they believe it is the most effective way to safeguard the needs of the future generation. And basically, they want a UN global tyrannical regime. And this is all foretold in the Bible. Recognizing, this is the UN's words again, the complex and interrelated challenges and risks faced by the present generations, oftentimes manufactured by the UN, the perpetrator itself. And these are known as wicked problems. You can look that up. There really is such a thing. And projected consequential change to the global demographic landscape. So they are projecting consequential changes to the global demographic landscape. So basically, they're telling you that the Georgia Guidestones and Deagle Report and all of that is accurate. Then further recognizing the importance of a stronger, more resilient, credible multilateral system, the UN, underpinned by confidence and trust, AI, for the benefit of future generations. Cognizant that future generations are all those, now this is interesting, future generations are all those generations that do not yet exist and yet are yet to come, who will eventually inherit the planet. If you look at Deuteronomy 32, there is a statement, you know, it's Moses' last word to the people, and he says you're going to wander away, and at the end you're going to serve gods that not even your fathers knew. And I think that that is exactly what we're seeing right here. So are these the gods our fathers did not know, or are they synthetic entities? Time will tell, and it's not going to be too much longer. So now we get to why I named this the Lair of the Dragon. So there is this power transfer now underway, starting today. Today is D-Day, between the dragon and the beast arising out of the Sea of Nations with blasphemy. The dragon is going to give him his power, his authority, and his seat. And he's going to be able to do many mesmerizing things. Where can we see this dragon transfer? And what does it have to do with biochemical warfare? So through the fiery synthetic chemical and biological warfare, there's poisons and toxins going forth from the mouth of the dragon. I mean, you know, it's not like in the movie where it's breathing fire, but it is fiery poison. When it goes into your body, it's not good. It's inflammatory to your body. Think about the vaccine weapons, the graphene, the hydrogel, the synthetic virtual twins, the synbio, the scaffolds, the self-assembling nano. And here we get down into the nitty-gritty that really shocked me, quite frankly, but it shouldn't have. America has always had a fascination, especially the military, with the dark side of the dragon. From the military ghost brigades that started like around the Civil War to the Army Chemical Corps. Have you heard about the Army Chemical Corps, Dave?
Yes. Yes, I have.
Okay. You see that? Well, we'll see their thing in just a second. This is the 2024 thing, and it's about Seaborn, chemical, biological, radiological, nuclear. And of course, there is the E, which is explosive or environmental or economic warfare, whatever starts with the E. So the Army Chemical Corps insignia is to indicate a soldier's affiliation with the Corps. The Army Chemical Corps branch insignia consists of cobalt blue and an enamel benzene ring, which is this, which is superimposed over two gold retorts, which often feature a dragon head. And we're going to get into benzene for a minute. It is an organic chemical compound with a molecular formula of carbon 6H6. The benzene molecule is composed of six carbon atoms joined in a planar hexagonal ring, which we're seeing plenty of hexagonal, especially in our graphene products or anything with hydrogel that often see, oh, I just said that. In the Book of Revelation, the number associated with the beast who receives power from the dragon is 666. Could this union with the beast be with benzene, the two sixes in benzene along with the beast to make it? Why do I think that? Benzene is used in a lot of your products these days. And also all of those train derailments let loose benzene.
Yes.
Benzene activates the nanobots in our body. So I think that it's a major contributor right now. So I'm going to give you a little chemical warfare timeline just so you see that chemical warfare in America is not new. In 1862, it was first imagined during the Civil War, and they were going to use chlorine gas, the North, to drive out the Confederates. In 1918, chlorine and mustard gas and noxious gases were used. In 1942, they proceeded to incendiaries, flamethrowers, and smoke obfuscation, nuclear, biologics, chemicals like Zyklon B. In 1946, we see an expansion of the biologicals from factory level to the laboratory level. That's why you're seeing so many labs going up, especially in a lot of states. They're going up. In 1955 was the Chemical Corps Intelligence Agency. The acronym is CCIA. That should give you chills. In 1962, entered herbicides, defoliants, and riot control. 1980s, focused on nuclear, biological, and chemical. 1990s, the Seaborn and the synthetic chemical age had arrived. The whole Army Chemical Corps, their motto is that they will rule the battle through the elements. And today at Fort Leonard Wood, Missouri, is the day that they are convening. Just saying, on their ensign or insignia is the dragon and a burnt tree. And we'll see the significance of that in just a second. The UN also is claiming that they will battle through the elements. From the United Nations website in 2001, 2 days before 9/11, here was this counterfeit Ark of the Covenant with the weaponized elements. So here is our D-Day, the day our lives change forever. This was the advertisement for it. It is the inaugural Protection and Maneuver Support Senior Leadership Forum. They started convening 2 days ago, but today is the day that they're all coming together. What does maneuver mean? It means a combination of movements requiring skill and dexterity, controlled like by the UN or the military, change of movement, strategic or tactical movement. And here's their regimental flag, I think. Dragon warfare on the cheap. NASA Strategic Warfare 2025. Once again, we see all this, all these things are in play right now, all of them. And from this day forward, it's going to be that way. It will, with each day, it's going to intensify. This is a very interesting document because there's about 30 slides that stay static. And as things go operational, some slides will disappear and new ones for operations that are going to come into play are added to this document. So you may have saved it in your computer, but do you have the current one? You always have to check. I checked when I was in Montana and they only had like a 46-page document. It should be about 113 or 14 pages, something like that. Here's another thing from the NASA document, microdust weaponry, dust that mechanically bores into your lung tissue and executes various pathological missions. I talked about my particles of destruction and that particles are on their brain. We are just getting bombarded by these toxic, poisonous, lethal particles, and they don't even want us to question it or anything. They've wiped the slate clean. If you start mentioning particles, you're going to be erased from the internet. It is a whole new class of weaponry, and it is completely legal. The regimental motto is we rule through the battle by means of the elements, and it's emblazoned with a dragon and a tree. And it was pretty interesting. The tree's trunk is battle scarred. It is a reference to the historical beginnings of the U.S. chemical warfare. Battered tree trunks were often the only remnants of chemical warfare. And what do we see right now? In April 2024, trees are being turned into skeleton. Discover the evil plot behind the sin bio of transparent wood. And I did that webinar this year. Scarred trees once again. So volume one is available for sale. It gives you the operational timeline. It has all your key documents. It has links. It has pictures. I describe different things. And then this volume two, I'm working on, like I said, right now, I'm at 157 pages. By the time I format it and put pictures in it, similar to the slides, only much more expansive. I give you all the documents. I give you the language, where to go, clickable links, that type of thing will be up, I would say, depending on how things roll, in about 2 weeks.
Okay.
And I'm also doing a book on this same topic, only just talking about the elements from God's perspective and how this is going to be a war at the molecular and atomic level as we go forth.
Hive mind is at the center of this, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a node.
Let me share with you something I know to be true, and then I want to put it in this context for you to interpret it. Mm-hmm. Vance Davis, good friend of mine for going on 33 years, former NSA, and they were tasked when he was assigned to NATO to reverse engineer, or not reverse engineer, but gather technology from the occult, much like what the Nazis did. So they were using Ouija boards and finally said, stop, we're not doing this. And they actually deserted their posts and so forth and so on. And because they had so much damning evidence, they couldn't be put on trial for desertion. So H.W. Bush had to cut them loose. And here's what Vance told me. In his indoctrination, they were taught the good guys and bad guys fought in the cosmos and the bad guys lost and were cast to Earth and intermarried with Earth women. Classic Genesis 6 in a secular version. And Vance said they were told that their goal was to get back at God by capturing the human soul. But they couldn't crack that code, so they decided on a course that we now call transhumanism. Vance didn't use that term, but he described it perfectly because he's talking about this in 1988 before transhumanism became a term in the vogue. I see a lot of what you're talking about, the transformative parts, changing the human being, is a manifestation of what Vance has told me for over three decades. Do you see the relationship?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, and they do. I mean, Dr. Evil, Dr. James Giordano, you can find him on YouTube. Yeah. He was pretty quiet, but he's done a couple recent videos. He said, makes no bones about it, that they've captured the soul, human soul, through technology.
He thinks you don't have the soul. You're saying they've overcome that obstacle?
Yeah, I did a whole webinar on the Soul Catcher, a whole webinar. It's multi modules on how the technology of how they did that.
Okay. So to close this, I'm just going to throw it to you and tell me, what defense do people have? What should people be doing?
They should be turning to the Lord. If they're not right with the Lord, they should repent. Make peace with your brother and sister. None of us can take tomorrow for granted. I mean, we know that there's going to be a remnant. Do we know for certain, absolutely certain, that we're going to be the remnant? We don't know. So treat everybody with kindness and the way you would like to be treated. And don't, if you need to work something out with somebody, work it out now. Get your plan together. Don't wait till the last minute. At FEMA, you know, we exercised all the time, and you will fall back on what you exercise. And if you don't exercise anything, you will be in chaos as this comes down. Okay. Now's the time to say, you know, I'm going to use my guns, or I'm not going to use my guns. I'm going to have my food. I'm not going to have my food. I'm just going to rely on the Lord. I'm going to learn to wildcraft or whatever. And this is an integrated, and I'm going to do my famous, this is an integrated weapon system. The biggest advice I've got for people today is, do not get focused on one or two things. I mean, yesterday was insane on the internet. They are using the fire hose of information to flood you, and you are not artificial intelligence. You cannot keep up with artificial intelligence. It's going to be like a firefight, and you're dodging the bullets. So you are just going to have to walk peacefully, steadily, sure-footedly forward. Don't get yourself fearful. Don't let your mind, we all have times that we're tempted. Don't go down that path. Don't be fearful, and just walk confidently, and use the Bible as your handbook. I mean, it's got good advice, even if you're not a believer. I mean, it's got wisdom in there, time honored. So it's a good thing to start practicing. Listen to the Holy Spirit. If he tells you, like one of the first things when David was killed, the Holy Spirit and I had a long relationship. I mean, I became a believer at 5, and he said, turn right, turn left. It was very militaristic. And I said, this is very different. Why is it? And I knew that it would come someday. It would save my life as long as I listened to that still small voice. And my prayer for each of you out there is that you listen to that still small voice.
Wow. That's, I totally agree with what you're saying, and the strength lies in the Lord. You know, my broadcast partner, Doug Thornton, ex-DHS supervisor, combat Marine, he came up with a great saying in one of our broadcasts the other night. He said, we need to forget about make America great again. We need to make America repent again.
Yes, I agree.
That was very telling on the part of Doug, very insightful for him to come up with that. From the shows we've done before, I'm just going to say this is a natural progression of where we've been.
Absolutely.
And on our TV show, we have a column there. We hold 2 months of broadcast, the current, the last. But we've held a lot of Celeste's key presentations, a lot of them loosely related to COVID and vaccines, but with applications across the board. I'd recommend you go there and see this. Celeste, how do people follow your work?
Okay, they can go to celestialreport.com to subscribe, and I send out a newsletter. You can follow me on private forums. We have community meetings, so you can ask me personal questions. Like I did this presentation last night. It was 4 hours long with the presentation, and people ask excellent questions. So you have those opportunities, and there's shepherdsheart.life where you can view my articles and such if you have a particular topic in mind.
Okay, that's very good. There's one closing thing, though, that I neglected to bring up because I didn't want to interrupt your flow. Benzene is cancer-causing.
Yes, yes.
And so the fact that they're adopting benzenes for such a general distribution speaks to depopulation.
Absolutely.
Now, to me, it's a mystery. We have all these quotes from UN officials, most of them related to Agenda 21, Agenda 2030, and they constantly talk about reducing the size of the population. They honor every lifestyle that doesn't end in procreation. I don't know how people can look at this and say they want to wipe out most of humanity and they want to transform the survivors.
And we have a choice. We can either go with their agenda or we can say no and stand and not.
Well, hell is forever. So I choose to take my temporary suffering if it comes down to that. And that ain't going to be fun. But ladies and gentlemen, hell is forever. You take that mark of the beast with the 666, it's game over for you. There's no coming back for that. And people say, well, I got to eat. Well, okay. What do you think they're going to feed you in hell? Celeste, I want to thank you so much for joining us. Absolutely fantastic presentation. It's going to keep me up at night, but the hope at the end is exactly what you said. Jesus Christ. Thank you very much, Celeste.
Thank you.